This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Survivor 48 is here, and alongside it, we're bringing you a brand new season of On Fire, the only official Survivor podcast. If you're a Survivor superfan, you won't want to miss this deep dive into every episode where we break down how we designed the game, the biggest moves, your burning questions. It's the only podcast that gives you inside access to Survivor that nobody else can. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bob, let's go out to the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline, where we find our friend and yours, Stanley Cup champion Jay Caulfield, brought to us by Tom's Watch Bar. Jay, glad you could join us. It's getting to be that time of year here, uneasy times in the locker room. And my first question is, Ricard Raquel, do you think the Penguins... Let me phrase the question
Boys, I can barely hear you.
Oh.
So you know, I can barely hear you.
Bob, why don't you say hello, hi Jay. To Jay?
Can you hear
there
me,
you
Jay?
Go. Bob, I got you. Yeah, I got you, Bob. I got you.
All right. Well, can you hear me, Jay?
Joe's faint.
I'm faint.
I think you said Ricard Raquel, but I did. I can't hear Joe, but I heard you, Bob.
Something's gone horribly wrong, Limits. Here. Are you sabotaging the show?
Joe, not at all. Speak from your diaphragm. Lower the voice. Let's go.
Jay, I'll yell as loud as I can. Let me phrase the question this way. What kind of return would it take for you to trade Raquel?
Well, listen, I know I just had a talk with Austin as well, and I'm going to give you a side, Joe, that you're not going to agree with at all, but I agree that he's a piece that, you know, pushing the 30-goal mark. He's got a couple years left, 3 years left at $5 million a year. That number alone, if you're trying to build, I'm going to give you the argument why not to move him. So if you're trying to make this, you know, still building around Sidney Crosby and you're trying to make a push like that, why would you move a guy that is producing and performing the way he is with Brian Rust, and he's a $5 million number for three more years? That's the one argument on the side of, you've been building picks, all that. I think certainly Ricard Raquel, with what we see in the market, is going to draw a number one, and you'd hope you can get a player, right? If that's what happens. But my opinion is, if you have one line that can be, you're still trying to build this, that's the word, around Crosby, and you're moving forward, why would you get rid of a guy that you're trying to get back? You got how many years with Crosby? That's the thing. Like, it's not like Sidney Crosby's 22 and you've got all this time to go. You're trying to build around Sidney Crosby, and if you have wingers with them right now, why would I blow that up? That's the argument on the other side. And the flip side is his value any higher? No, it's probably not. So you should be able to get something. When I've seen the other deals right now and what people are getting, what teams are getting, then he would be in line with the same thing, and the Penguins can make that move. But for me, you have a line with Crosby, and he's at a really good price. I don't know. But there's the two sides of it for me, Joe and Bob.
And I said that to Joe earlier, that, you know, the fact that he makes what he makes, and it's for multiple years, when you look at the cap going up, and when you look at how much money he will be worth, let's say, if he was a free, I mean, it'd be up to $7 million or in that range probably. So I can understand that part of it. I do. But I also know that they seem to be jaywalking a fine line here, which is trying to hang on to certain things but then, you know, rebuild others. That's not easy. But I also know, as I told Joe earlier, that I've watched teams like Detroit. I've watched teams like Chicago now. You can get the number one overall pick and still be light years away. And Bedard right now is one in that situation, I think, in Chicago. And Detroit hasn't been to the playoffs in how long. So it's a dangerous thing to do a total rebuild. Do you think they're kind of going halfway at this, just, you know, trying to pick and choose? And, again, if Ricard Raquel was at the end of a contract or with 1 year left, I think it would be an automatic move. 3 years at that price does change the equation.
I think it does too. And if you're trying to, I mean, I think what's happened is the Washington Capitals have brought added pressure in the teams that are in the same position. And the Capitals and the Penguins mirrored each other over all these years. And then now all of a sudden they get a reprieve by guys being injured and going on long-term IR. And that freed up cash. And then the outstanding job that their management team has done and put together, now they're winning this year. That makes it, can other people duplicate that? Remember, they got the break, and I think we talked about this before, but they did get that big break with Backstrom and Oshie going on long-term IR. And that's a different scenario. But I think other teams are hoping they can do that, or fan base wants them to do that. I still think if you're going to lead and you're letting Sidney Crosby know, and it's all based on their discussions and what they feel, but if you're doing that, and the number you just mentioned, Bob, what we just talked about, it's hard to do that. I also have heard through the grapevine that the next 2 years in the draft and a lot of things, you're not going to know guys at 16, you know, 18 years old, what they're going to be like. It's different than football a little bit. But, I mean, the draft's not, from what I've heard and when we were all together over the last couple of weeks with Mario's camp and guys around him and around the league, the draft might not be as strong as what people – what they've had in years past. So if you're stockpiling draft picks, you might not find when is this going to be built up? Is there somebody that can change a game right away? I don't know. But from what I heard from guys talking the other day, that might not be out there.
How about if there are players involved, not draft picks? You know, young players who already have been in the league.
They need that. That's what they have to have too, Bob. You're right. That has to be there. Somehow you have to be able to, you know, they're happy, they're every day we hear they're happy with Wilkes-Barre, and there's guys down there. But even then, we see the step that it is from the NHL up. I think what you just mentioned, Bob, and Joe, we talked about this before, guys that have proven their young talent, it's out there. Can you come in and make a difference? I think that has to be part of a changeover, a rollover. I'll mention again Capitals. Pierre-Luc Dubois. It hasn't worked anywhere he's gone, and all of a sudden he's found a home in Washington. What's out there? I'm sure they're searching for that kind of thing, Bob, to try and build this roster so it's not looking like the rebuild that a lot of people feel needs to happen and not. But I think the Sidney Crosby factor in this, it's the communication you've had with him. What is he? Is he a player that's going to stay around for a rebuild? That's when I go to the words and the mention will be mentioned in the beginning. You got Raquel and you got Rust. And it's a line that dominates games still today. They're dominating games when they're on the ice. If you're trying to build, why would you move a guy that's only $5 million a year with 3 years left? That's what you're trying to find. And it's time. And I'm giving the timeline over Crosby, what they think Sidney Crosby is going to do and the timing of those contracts. And again, but I also know Raquel's value is at its all-time high. So it's a double-edged sword a little bit.
Yeah, it is. And I do see both sides of it. I just, you know, the other part of that is this the Ricard Raquel we're going to get like every year through his contract?
Yeah.
I don't know, because the years before he got here, he was struggling for about 3 years. Then he was really good when he got here. Then he struggled badly last year and was banged up, and he's getting older. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's a tough call.
Right. I agree with that. And one thing about it is, as an athlete, you know, injuries that can really derail guys. And he didn't talk a lot about it, but when you're going through injuries and you're not feeling the game, it's tough. But he battled back from that, and he's in a groove, a comfort zone with these guys. But you're right. You're right. That's out there too. And by the way, if I'm a GM on the other side, I'm going to go, okay, what about last year? I'm going to go, hey, he's playing with Sidney Crosby. I'm going to go down the line and throw everything at them too. Like, you know, he's got 30 goals this year, but he's playing with Crosby and Rust.
Right.
You know, they're not just going to go, they're going to use what you just said against any kind of deal. But it certainly seems like the market and what it's bringing, what these other deals have already produced, that somebody's going to pay a big number, you know, whether it be a player, a really good, you know, a number one, whatever it might be. But if I'm a GM on the other side, I'm going right back at them and going, okay, what about this, 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 and this? He's having a good year this year, but that's what they're going to do. It's like if you went into arbitration as a player, The last thing, I remember Craig Patrick saying, you never want to be in a meeting when it's arbitration. You don't want to be a player listening to what somebody's going to throw back at you. Let your agent handle it, right? Let them handle it. You don't want to be in there. Well, the same thing, I'm sure, between GMs. They're going to throw the same stuff at them. And Ricard Raquel is that guy. But I still like, there's both sides of it. There's great points on both sides. But the Penguins in this, mirrored in this position right now, I believe something needs to happen in a degree where the Pittsburgh, the Penguin fans, the base, know that they're trying to make moves for the better, and they need to see something.
What do you do, Jay, about the goalie situation now? Tristan Jarry's up here. I assume he's going to play at some point, although Nedeljkovic played well last night. He's been erratic at times. You got Blomqvist, who's not ready. You got guys in their system. But is it good enough at this point? I looked at what Washington did with Logan Thompson, how they pried him away from Vegas, yeah. And they got a guy who was kind of blocked, and he was somehow available, and they cashed in on only 2 third-round picks. What do they do at goalie, especially with Tristan Jarry, when we're talking about him?
Yeah, as bad – we looked at something last night, Bob, and I'll get right to your point in a second. The Penguins are second in the league second worst in the league in goal differential. I think they're like minus 53. San Jose is in the 70s, minus 70-something. With that being said, though, the Penguins' goals for are higher than all these other teams that are at the bottom feeders, that kind of thing. The goaltending, and with the defensive play in front of them, is the reason, one of the major reasons why they're in this position today, right? It just is. Now, early in the year, they were under siege. And I would defend, the position that the goaltenders were in. Then in the second half of the year, the game was better, and then they just couldn't make the save when you needed it. They're in this position right now because of certainly the way the team is built, the underperforming, the way they play defense, but they couldn't the goaltending never solidified itself. Now, I think the guy that you're talking about, Logan Thompson, now the one guy that just went to Chicago that night, that could have been a guy. Yeah, that's the kind of one you're talking about, Bob. I don't know they love Ned. They love what he does and what he means and how he can be a benefit to the younger guys coming up. We saw what happened with Blomqvist. It wasn't ready for prime time. And I'm not sure he was ready to be in the backup role, which is a different mindset all across the board. It's if you're not a guy that can handle being a backup role, you're going to have performances like we saw. I think they didn't want to get him beat up anymore because it was too much for him. But they've got the young Russian there. They've got Blomqvist and continue to develop. And they've got Ned and you see Jarry up. I think it's a huge thing that's going to have to be addressed. And if it's not in this deadline, then over the summer, certainly they're going to look at all these pieces. But yeah, Bob, the Logan Thompson thing, that was a dot. They found something there in Washington. It's certainly a big part of turning them around. I think that Spencer Knight would have been the same, is going to be that same kind of piece that ends up going to Chicago. So we'll see. I'm not sure what else is out there, Bob, and what you got to do, but you certainly needed, like Tristan Jarry to be the guy when he gets signed to the contract he did, and it just never materialized. And that's a move that certainly set the Pens back and puts them in this lackluster position right now.
Lastly, Jay, what was it like around trade deadline time in the locker room, on the planes and buses and all of that? I imagine it's sort of an unnerving time for people.
Yeah, it is, Joe. It's also one of those times of the year that, keeps you kind of alive in a long season because everybody's talking about it, right? So it's, you get through the holidays and you get January and February and it's long, and then you're coming up to the trade deadline. And it is. It's if you're a guy that's being mentioned, if you're a guy that's, I've said a lot of times it's not the guy that gets mentioned that gets moved, right? It's all the buzz around one player, and he's not the guy that goes. It's somebody else that you least expect. I find it to be we've seen a lot of deals go down over the years, and a lot of great friends and great teammates that have moved on, and it's a harsh time for that. I think as a player, a lot of times, and I remember talking to Ulf Samuelsson and guys, old school players, a lot of times when a deal goes down, you're just happy it's not you. If you want to be where you're at, you might look at each other and 3 o'clock goes by and you're just said, hey, guys are going to move on, but I'm still here kind of thing. That sounds kind of selfish, but as far as the game is concerned and your individual game, you don't want to move. You want to be in Pittsburgh. You know, everything that they do for you here when it's a winning way, it's going to change. It's going to get back to that. But guys don't want to move on. It's a tough spot to be in. Families are involved, kids, a big change of lifestyle for that player. But what happens is the player moves on. He's shipped out, and the wife and kids, they're the ones that have to pick up, have it even more difficult because they're packing everything up and moving on from there. So there's a lot that goes with it, Joe. And it's but it's the talk, and it's a lot. And I've said, and it's changed, though, over the years with the salary cap. If you go back in the day with Craig Patrick and guys were wheeling and dealing, there was a lot of things taking place and deals could be made. It's a lot different right now, but still, it's an uprooting situation and guys can be on edge. And again, sometimes I feel it's not always the one you hear about the most. It's the one that's kind of quiet, and all of a sudden some of those players moving on that you didn't think was going to happen. And I do remember one deal when I was in New York my first year with the Rangers. At 3 o'clock went by, and everybody was like, you know, all safe and happy. And 3:15, it took that long for the facts to get through. And it was a major deal that sent guys to LA, and Marcel Dion came back to the Rangers. But it was after 3 o'clock. Now that doesn't happen anymore. That's when he had the old, you know, landline and doing the facts.
Right.
And it took longer than the date. So again, much different today, but still a very, can be a very difficult situation for a lot of players, but everybody understands it, Joe, and they know it's part of the game. And when your team's underachieving and not where they want to be, I think most people are vulnerable.
Jay, we appreciate the time. Have a good week. I imagine you'll be back on the golf course.
Oh, he's always on the golf course. Don't let that fool you.
I know, guys.
He's honing his game every day.
We're trying, Bob. We're trying, Bob. Listen, you guys have a good week, too, as well.
All right. See you, Jay.
Thanks, Jay.
See you. Bye.
Bob, you know what that means. There's a train a-leaving, so you better hop on the Limitless Express. Let's do it, Limits.
Get on, Bob. Get on the train as Joe Tooney, the offensive lineman pro bowler for the Kansas City Chiefs, has been traded to the Chicago Bears for a 2026 fourth-round draft pick. So the Chiefs don't get a pick in this year's draft, and they make their offensive line worse. Joe, what do you make of this? Chicago gets better, but what are the Chiefs doing here?
Well, Joe Tooney was a disaster on the outside, but that's because he's a guard. And as a guard, I was just reading, he has the highest pass block win rate in the NFL the last two seasons. So Chicago here is going all in. This is the second guy that they've picked up. In a week, Jonah Jackson was the other. They have two new guards now. They're going all in to try to protect Caleb Williams. Doug Whaley was on our morning show today, Bob, saying he was asked to pick one sleeper team, like next year's Commanders, and he picked the Bears. I think this is a great move.
I don't understand what Kansas City wants to, unless it's a financial burden they find themselves in or whatever.
I think it is.
But that's a good, if you're Chicago, that's a good upgrade to have. Both of those guys are. And yes, to protect Caleb Williams, if you're going to make that investment and make it work, you got to surround him with the right people, and that includes offensive line. But man, that's only a fourth round pick. I would have expected a little bit more.
Well, here's the thing. As I read further, the Chiefs placed the non-exclusive franchise tag on their other guard, Trey Smith, and that's worth $23.4 million, which would make him the highest paid guard in the league. So now you know why this happened.
Yeah, I guess down to how much money you're going to put in that offensive line, especially when you have one getting that kind of money.
Well, there are problems on the outside.
No, I know that. But still, it's good to have people, depth in an offensive line if you could keep it. But I guess they felt that was good for Chicago. You know, they're doing what they need to do in terms of, you know, correcting a wrong. And their offensive line was not helpful last year in developing Caleb Williams.
We'll always remember Matt Eberflus, won't we, Bob?
Did he sign on with somebody as a coordinator?
I think so.
He did.
Especially the Thanksgiving Day game when he never used a timeout. Remember that?
Yes.
That was
so obvious, I thought. What are we doing?
He signed on as the defensive coordinator for the Cowboys. Maybe he'll become Matt Eberwin there. Man, you think?
I don't know.
Next.
Shedeur Sanders, Travis Hunter, and Abdul Carter had dinner with the Cleveland Browns coaches at a local steakhouse last night. Good to them. They had a really nice meal, I'm sure. Is this Shedeur Sanders talk about him, Dame Brugler, and his mock draft, having him going to the Steelers at 21 and others falling in the draft, is just somebody blowing smoke, or do you think that there's something real here? Because if the Browns are meeting with him, there's a real chance he can go in the top five.
The Browns have got to do something, and I would agree. Their quarterback situation is a mess right now, and they got to redo the thing if they can, and that's what this is probably all about. I still don't see a scenario where he falls all the way down to the Steelers. That thing has come up a few times now.
Do you see one where Jackson Dart goes ahead of him?
Is there one like that? I don't know. Probably.
Do you see one like that maybe happening?
Again, I'm not sold totally on Jackson Dart. So I think all these guys have flaws, and they could find that those flaws are going to be problematic in the NFL when you face a bunch of, you know, top and defensive players at virtually every position, unlike in college. So I think it's a whole different kind of game. And unless you have the ability to deal with that, and Shedeur Sanders is a very good athlete, don't get me wrong. I have a hard time finding him being available at 21. I think he's going to go ahead of that.
Man, the mock draft I'm looking at right now has Travis Hunter going third to the Giants. Can you imagine getting Ohtani third here? This guy's going to play offense and defense. And he should. Do you think he should?
I know he wants to. That's a lot of football. And I find him probably better as a defensive player than I do offensive player.
So do I. I'm not saying every snap. I think every snap defensively. And yes. Then, you know.
I mean, you could use
15 to 20 snaps offensively.
But he makes it sound like he wants to play every single down.
He's
on every
single play.
He's incredible,
Bob. To get him as the third pick would be the steal of the century. Although I do love Abdul Carter, and if you're Tennessee, do you take Sanders first? Browns take Abdul Carter, and then, man, it would just be impossible for me to pass up this kid unless there was a surefire quarterback. How about you?
I really like Travis Hunter. I like listening to his, you know, they asked him about his growing up, what he had to go, what he had to face, how he worked, his work ethic stuck out to me like tremendous. He was one of those guys who was always first to show up, always last to leave, never got enough of it, wanted more instruction. He's a guy who is going to be a difference maker. I totally agree with that.
May I interject something here, Limitless Wonder?
You may.
This Yahoo mock draft has Tyler Warren all the way down at 18 to Penn State and Ashton Jeanty going to Denver right before the Steelers. If either one of those guys should make it to the Steelers or even close to them, Bob, would you be tempted to move up a spot or two or at least take one of those guys at 21?
Running back and tight end on a team that needs a lot of help from a lot of different players. So
I know, but this ain't Najee and Freiermuth. These are two.
And if I were inclined
changers to
do it, it would be Warren, because I think he could give them something in the pass game that they really need. And having him and Pat Freiermuth together could be a really good situation. And he's almost a wide receiver. I mean, he plays the game like a wide
receiver.
Yeah,
that's basically like Bowers.
Right.
Yeah.
So
I might take either.
There. I don't know about the running back. I'm not going to go Jeanty that high. Just not.
They have – this draft has the Steelers taking Jahdae Barron for a cornerback from Texas. Guy who blitzes a lot, lines up all over the field, that says just a game-changing type of athlete. I wouldn't mind that so much, although I am inclined to
go. They need a cornerback. They do need more help there, and there's no question. They can get it in free agency.
Yeah, both their starting corners got failing grades from PFF. Now, you can agree or disagree with that, but I think we both would say that Joey Porter took a step back this year and that Dante Jackson, while he made some field-flipping plays, wasn't very good. Would you agree with that?
Yes, he had 5 interceptions, but there were a lot of, you know, things he left out there, got beat a lot of times. So they need help. There's no question. And if you get somebody that you think could be that kind of shutdown guy, I guess you go for it.
That's another place Omar Khan left him short, corner.
What would you do if they decided to trade out of the 21st pick?
What do you mean?
Move back, get more picks.
I wouldn't hate that, but I want Jackson Dart.
I know you want Jackson Dart. You're in love with Jackson Dart.
I wouldn't hate that idea.
Yeah, it just depends. It's deep in a lot of different areas. So if you can get a few, you know, second-round pick, third-round picks extra.
I'll tell you this much. If Tyler Warren gets to 18, I'm thinking about moving up. That's how good I think he is. I think he's a top five all-around player in this draft.
Yeah, he's a Brock Bauer kind of guy.
Do you agree with that, Limits?
100%. And, I mean, he, like Bob said, is basically a wide receiver that he has the speed, he has the agility. I would think that the Steelers, I mean, you could pair it as a two tight end look, but they could basically play him as like another wide receiver in their offense. If he's even five, six, or seven spots, if he's still there at like 13, 14, 15, I would trade up for him.
Bob, may I interest you in lining up with Justin Fields as a running quarterback with Jaylen Warren and a young, explosive breakaway runner splitting backfield duties, with the offensive line as currently constituted, with George Pickens, Devontae Adams, Freiermuth, and Tyler Warren? Would that interest you at all?
Yeah, that would interest me. That would give me options in the pass game that I would love to have, yes.
Tyler Warren can also be a short yardage runner, like Mark Andrews.
Absolutely could.
He can do everything.
He could be the tush pusher, or the pusher of the tush, or one of the two.
He could be the tush or the push.
The tush or the push, yes. So, that would intrigue me. I think they have to really address these offensive weakness areas, and I think that would be great. I don't know what it would cost to move up even four or five spots, though. Sometimes you got to give up a lot to move up.
I know. That's
that
true.
Kind of leverage.
That's very true. Oh, I'm sorry. Limits. Go ahead.
Speaking of cornerback, Jonathan Jones, the lead NFL insider for CBS Sports, says that Darius Slay wants to play one more year, and his level of play dictates that he'll get a respectable offer and likely wants to go to a contender. He also interjects that Darius Slay played for Terrell Austin for 4 years in Detroit, so some sources wonder if a potential reunion in Pittsburgh could happen for Darius Slay. Bob, what would you make of that?
Well, he only wants to play one more year, so that would be, to me, an easy thing to do if he wants 1 year deal, whatever it might be. I think he would be good for them. I do. He would be helpful to them. You know, how much does he have left as a starter over there? I'm not so sure of that. I mean, he was good for Philadelphia, but
aren't you getting tired of them picking up these guys on the tail end of their careers, Bob?
But if you're in a position where you need help in that position, you don't draft it.
I want young. And
I do too, but for 1 year, would it hurt you?
Did Patrick Peterson help you for 1 year?
No, but maybe this guy would be different.
I don't know. I respect your opinion. Mine is I pass on.
But again, where are you going to draft this person, this cornerback? Is it the first round? And if you do
well, there's also other younger corners you can sign.
True, there are. There are some you can trade for also.
Sure, this guy's played 177 games. He's been in the league since 2013.
Yeah, he's 34 years old. I know.
No, thank you. I respect him.
How about a depth guy? 1 year at a very, very nice price. Just a veteran to have out there?
No.
No? Okay.
That's Patrick Peterson, part two.
Maybe
the Cam Sutton
success.
Signing, by the way.
Oh, that was a terrible move.
We haven't been critical enough of that. This guy had obvious weaknesses here, Omar Khan. It was depth in the secondary, depth on the defensive line, and receiver. And he failed to address any of them properly, adequately. Anyway, next.
We're back. Back at the goal line, folks. Adam Schefter believes the 49ers will listen to any offers for wide receiver Brandon Ayuk.
Oh, God help us.
Who would like to repatch this potential discussion?
I don't even want to talk about it. I don't even want to say anything. I'm done. I'm done.
I'm done.
Remember Rocky Blyer and those inimitable words? Do you have that clip back there? Look it up. It's in Horse's folder. I'm done.
No, if Horse still has a folder.
We killed Horse's folder, Bob?
Horse has to have a folder, just like there a horse has to have a stable.
We took Horse's folder out to the glue factory? That doesn't seem nice or right. Okay. I'm not interested. Is he coming off a broken leg or something? What happened to him last year?
He tore his ACL. Tore something.
Yeah, something went horribly wrong. No. Is my answer to that.
Would Jalen Milroe interest you in any way as a quarterback in the middle round?
If I was going to take a middle round flyer, it would be someone with a very high ceiling, as they say, Bob. It would be like a ceiling in one of those lofts in the strip district. You ever been in one of those?
Yeah, like 18 feet high?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would have to be that high.
You could put a big Christmas tree in there.
Sure, why not? No, I'm not interested. But thank you for asking, Limits.
You're quite welcome. What about
Wait a second. Adam Schefter believes the 49ers are open to trade talks on, quote, just about anybody. May I interest you in another 49er, Bob?
Okay. Which one?
Fred Warner?
I think the Steelers are they okay at inside linebacker right now? I mean, Fred Warner is...
They're better than they've been over the last several years, I think. That's if they bring back Alandon Roberts. Is he due for a contract?
Fred Warner, yes, of course I'm interested. But that would seem to be a pretty prohibitive price for him. But yes, I would be.
Just about anybody, to me at least, reads anybody but McCaffrey and probably Warner. Maybe they're safety.
You sure about McCaffrey?
Pretty sure.
How about an aging? Nah, the Steelers are going to go with their offensive line as is. I was going to say an aging Trent Williams.
Yeah, but that costs. I wouldn't go that. I'd rather bring some. There are going to be some guys made available here in the offensive line. Veterans who are looking for opportunities.
How about Kyle Usyk? Go with a real fullback.
Yeah, he's pretty good.
How about Javon Hargrave? Is he a free agent?
Yes.
Would you sign him, Bob?
How old is he? I want to get younger at that position.
I think he's 32 or 33, isn't he?
32. He had a birthday last month.
I like him. He certainly earned a nice paycheck to go to San Francisco as a third-round pick the Steelers made, and third-round pick turned out to be a very good spot for him.
He's getting up there, too. Yeah, you know what I want at all these positions? I want young, in that case, defensive line, young, destructive athletes is what I want. You know what I mean, Bob? I don't want Larry Ogunjobi part two. I don't. I want guys who are young, energetic, playing for something who can play.
And what happens when Cam is finally done?
Right.
I mean, they're going
to... They have to address this year, their defensive line. They failed. They failed on that, too, with Loudermilk, with DeMarvin Leal, with other guys. It just hasn't been good enough. I thought Andy Weidel was coming in to fortify both lines. Is the offensive line going to be good enough? Is Broderick Jones a good pick?
Well, that's going to be the key to it all, Broderick Jones moving to the left side. He needs to be the man they envision him to be, and not one of the most sack allowed right tackles in the game, which he was last year. So he has to make sure that's his natural position. I expect better results there.
One more limits.
The Raiders have informed Gardner Minshew he will be released, and Devontae Adams is also being released by the Jets. Any interest in any of these veterans?
Adams would intrigue me, but he's going to want, he's free to negotiate whatever.
He can still play,
but how many years will it take? Is it a one-year deal?
Again, I think I would still prefer to get younger, but
me too.
A guy I would listen on. Minshew has a hell of a mustache, and it pretty much stops there. Right?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. Thank you, Limits. That was wonderful.